Good morning, everyone. Would like to greet you all in the precious name of the one that we sang about this morning. Hallelujah for the blood and for the lamb that was slain. Without that, we would be lost without hope. I was really blessed by that song this morning. It really stood out to me. And in our Sunday school discussion as well about the importance of the Passover and what that meant and what that means for us today. It was a type of what Christ did for us in providing a way for our redemption through the shedding of his blood, of the perfect, spotless Lamb of God. I'd like to extend a special welcome to the visitors here this morning. It's good to see the church house well filled, and want to welcome you in our worship here. There's a lot that has been happening in the last few weeks in our country. And the message that I feel led to share this morning is actually one that I brought 4 years ago. And I'd like to bring your attention to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. You can turn there a while in your Bibles to that passage. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. This time of the year, I enjoy going for a drive every now and then. Usually it's sometimes on a Saturday, sometimes Sunday afternoon. And taking the beauty of fall. I think it's pretty much past that now. The leaves are pretty much all down. There's a few with some color here and there. But it's good to do that once in a while, I think, just to see the wonderful beauty of the creation of the earth, of what God has created. But as we're driving along, there's something else that we see along the road. There's campaign signs all over the place. And everyone wants to post to the public around them what their opinion is of who the next president of this country should be. And as the time drew closer and closer to the date of the election, people were talking about it more and more. And even this week, there was people who were talking about it. One fellow was just depressed at the results of the election. And others are rejoicing. As Christians, what should be our viewpoint? Are we excited because a Republican won the election this morning, brothers and sisters? Or are we as excited about hallelujah for the blood, about what Jesus has done for us and for the world around us? It's just a burden I have on my heart this morning that I'd like to share. And sometimes we get questioned by those around us. So who are you voting for? Or maybe just, are you registered to vote? And then we get the question, why don't you register to vote? Don't you care about what's happening in your country? How should we respond? What should our answer be to that? Those are some things that were on my mind, and I'd like to think about as we go through this message. I just want to be clear. I don't feel like it's wrong for us as Christians to be concerned about the direction that our country is going. In fact, I think that's right, and that's good. But what are we doing about it? Are we praying for our government? Let's read this chapter in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I think we'll take the time to read the whole chapter. The focus is going to be on the last couple verses, but let's read this chapter. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. This is Paul writing, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle to groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith and not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your own consciences. For we commend not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory on your behalf, that ye may have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance, and not in heart. For whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God, or whether we be sober, it is for your cause. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore, henceforth, know ye we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made righteousness of God in him." The title of the message is found in verse 20. Ambassadors for Christ. Paul is saying that we are ambassadors for Christ. The first question that comes to my mind is, what is an ambassador? So I did a little bit of research. I had researched this previously. I updated my research a little bit this morning. I'm not quite sure how accurate it is, but the United States has ambassadors living in about 182 countries around the world. And they are there to represent our country and those countries that they are living in. So we're going to just take the time to go through, I have 9 points that I would like to look at about what is an ambassador and what his duty is to his country and how that applies to us as Christians. So the first point that we're going to look at is, number one, is an ambassador lives in a foreign country. An ambassador is someone who does not live in the country where they are a citizen. So in John chapter 18, I think I'll take the time to read these verses. John 18, because I feel like they are so pivotal on this subject. These are words of Jesus. John 18, this is at the time of his crucifixion. And we're going to look at verses 33 to 36. Pilate was trying Jesus before the crucifixion, and it says that he entered into the, in verse 33, in John 18, he entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, Art thou the King of the Jews? And Jesus answered him, saying, And Jesus answered him, Sayest thou this of thyself, or did others tell it of me? Are you coming up with this on your own, or did someone else tell you this about me? And Pilate answered, Am I a Jew that thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me? What have you done? And Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. As Christians, as followers of Christ, our kingdom is not of this world. In John 17, Jesus prayed in his intercessory prayer for his people. He said to God, They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. As followers of Christ, we are not part of this world system. There are two kingdoms. The kingdom of Christ, the kingdom of God, and the kingdom of this world. In our country, there are two sides to the political scene. There's a democracy and there's a republic. Brothers and sisters, neither one of those is representing the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Neither one of those is part of God's kingdom. They are part of the kingdoms of this world. In Hebrews 11, verses 8 to 10, it talks about the heroes of faith that were living as in a strange country. As Christians, we live in a foreign land. This world is not our final home. Yes, we may be a citizen of the United States of America, but our primary citizenship is in heaven. And we are just living here in this foreign country in the world around us. Back to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. In verse 17, Paul says, Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. A true ambassador must be in Christ and a new creation with his old nature. The old Adamic sinful nature must be crucified, must be passed away. We are a new creature, a new creation in Christ, and the old nature must be passed away. I know that's not a one-time event. It's a lifelong battle. Constantly be putting away the old nature, the old man that wants to come up inside us. But with Christ, this is possible. And only with Christ can we do this. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 to 19, he says, "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. A true ambassador living in a foreign country must be redeemed. A Christian must be redeemed with the precious blood of Christ." As Christian ambassadors, as an ambassador for Christ, we must be redeemed with the precious blood of Christ. The second point that I would like to look at as an ambassador of Christ. An ambassador is a messenger. In 2 Chronicles chapter 35, verse 21, it says this, "But he sent ambassadors to him, saying, What have I to do with thee, thou king of Judah?" This was from one king to another. Sent an ambassador with a message. "What have I to do with thee, thou king of Judah? I came not against thee this day, but against the house wherewith I have war. For God commanded me to make haste. Forbear thee from meddling with God, who is with me, that he destroy thee not." So here was a messenger, an ambassador going from one king to another to carry a message. In Proverbs 13, verse 17, it talks about a wicked messenger falleth into mischief, but a faithful ambassador is health. An ambassador is a messenger. In our chapter this morning, in verses 18 and 19, 2 Corinthians 5, verses 18 and 19, "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation." As Christians, we have been given the message of reconciliation to give to the world around us. First of all, we are reconciled to God through Jesus Christ. As an ambassador of Christ, as a Christian, we are reconciled to God through Jesus Christ. And it's our duty to bring that message of reconciliation to the world around us. In Acts chapter 8, I don't think we'll turn there and read those verses, but this is the account where Philip met with the eunuch who was riding in his chariot. The Spirit carried Philip to the eunuch, and he led him to Christ. He was reading the scriptures, and he didn't understand, and Philip expounded and explained it to him. He was a messenger. He was an ambassador for Christ, bringing the message to the eunuch. Brothers and sisters, every day our lives are speaking to the world around us. The challenge that I'd like to leave is, what is our message? Third point, as an ambassador of Christ, an ambassador represents their own country or their home country to the country they are living in. In our chapter 5 here in 2 Corinthians, Paul is talking about the desire to be clothed in the immortal body, the desire to go and to be with God. And then he goes on to say in verse 9, Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. We strive to be accepted of God, to live a life that is acceptable to God. For we must appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Every person must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing this, knowing that every person is going to be judged by the life that they lived, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord on those who do not live according to his will, and those who do not know him, we persuade men. We have that urgency to persuade others to follow Christ and to live for him. But we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. I think of a good salesman or a good sales representative as someone that believes in the product that they are selling. Someone who has firsthand experience with the product that they're selling. That makes a good salesman. They know how to use the product well, they know what it does, and they have a firsthand experience with it. The same way as Christians, we must have firsthand experience of the work of God and the gospel in our lives. We must have the Holy Spirit working in and through us to be able to reach others with the gospel message. We must have the experience of the feeling the guilt of our sins and experience true repentance and experience the relief and the cleansing power of the blood of Christ when we made him Lord of our life, to be able to reach others as an ambassador for Christ with our message, with our representing the kingdom of Christ to the world around us. We present the gospel with urgency. We persuade men. I think of, was it Paul before Felix? He said, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." Paul was urgent, but it was still Felix's choice. Brothers and sisters, do we have the urgency to reach out to those around us because we know their fate? And we want them to experience what we have experienced, a release from sin, a relationship with God through Jesus. Again, this is more than a one-time experience. It's a lifelong commitment. And we falter. And we fail. But we keep going back and applying the blood of Christ, confessing our sins to him. And through that, we can be a representative of God's kingdom to the world around us. Fourth point that I have about an ambassador for Christ. An ambassador is the most visible symbol of their own country within the country that they are in and to its public. And that is actually, as far as I remember, is actually a saying that is applied to our earthly kingdoms and our earthly ambassadors. An ambassador of our country, this is part of their theme, is to be the most visible symbol of your own country within the country you are in and to its public. I know a lot of these points are intertwined and somewhat overlapping, but in this point, I'd like to challenge us. Are we a visible symbol of the kingdom of God to the world around us? Is the way I dress a symbol of the kingdom of God? the expressions on my face, the way I relate to people. It's a challenge to me, personally. Am I a good visible symbol of the kingdom of God? Is the music that I listen to pointing people to the kingdom of God? Is my conduct a visible symbol of the heavenly country that I represent? If I'm sincere about being an ambassador for Christ, I'm going to be okay with being different than the world. I'm going to be okay with that. I'll be okay with looking and acting different, acting like a foreigner to the world around me. I'm going to be okay with abstaining from the allurements of the world around me, the sports, the movies, the immodest dress, the fads and fashions, and so forth. I'm going to be okay with being different as an ambassador for Christ. Number five, an ambassador does not get involved in the political movements and campaigns in the country that he or she is posted in. Again, I think, if I remember right, this was word for word, part of our country's regulation for ambassadors. An ambassador does not get involved in the political movements and campaigns in the country that he or she is posted in. So when a U.S. ambassador serves in Russia or Germany or Haiti or wherever it is, they don't take part of the political elections, the political campaigns of that country that they're in. As ambassadors for Christ, we don't get involved with the political campaigns in the world that we live in. And I think this is a good answer that we can give when we're asked why we don't vote. I'm an ambassador for Christ, whose kingdom is not of this world. And so, therefore, I don't take part of this world's political system. I know the election is basically over. And the results are revealed. And in a way, it is a relief to see that we're not going headlong away from what God has planned for humans. But I think we need to be careful how wrapped up we get in our conversations, in our preferences, and so forth, in the political campaigns of this world. Number six, an ambassador must be completely loyal to his own country. An ambassador must be completely loyal to his own country. In Ephesians chapter 6, I think we'll turn there. Ephesians chapter 6, we're going to look at verses 10 through 20. Ephesians chapter 6, starting at verse 10. Finally, my brethren, I think this was near the end of his life here on this earth, if I remember right. Paul is saying to the Ephesian church, he says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And he tells us to put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. He says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. People are not our enemies, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness, against Satan and his kingdom, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, a readiness to share the gospel, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Having a faith that is unshakable, that we can overcome if we are on the Lord's side. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. It talks about taking on the shield of faith and putting on the whole armor of God for ourselves, but it also talks about praying and watching for our brothers and sisters. We are here to help each other. And if we see something wrong, we need to point it out. We're here to help each other to face the fiery darts of the wicked, to face the temptations of the devil. You know, even though Paul was in prison and faced persecution for his faith, he remained loyal to his heavenly country. What a testimony he left us. If it wouldn't have been for his imprisonment, time when he was served in prison, writing these letters, we probably wouldn't have some of these letters to the churches. It was in that time when he wrote a lot of these letters that we have in the Word of God today. Are we completely loyal to our heavenly country as an ambassador for Christ? Number 7, an ambassador must have a direct connection with the president or the king in his own country. A U.S. ambassador will make the use of every modern method of communication to stay in touch with their country. Brothers and sisters, we have something better than any kind of communication in this world. We have prayer. In the same way, by prayer, we can be in constant contact with the throne of God. God speaks to us through his word, through the Holy Spirit, and through fellow ambassadors, our brothers and sisters in the church. Our connection with the Father is of utmost importance as an ambassador for Christ. Number 8, an ambassador must be diplomatic. Again, I think this was taken from the regulations or the applications for our earthly ambassadors, but an ambassador must be diplomatic. I know that's not a word we use every day, but another term for an ambassador is a diplomat. So if you look up diplomatic, it means someone who can be sensitive in dealing with others and carrying a discussion on sensitive issues. If an earthly ambassador was not diplomatic, he could end up starting a war. And as Christian, this does not mean that we should compromise truth. We cannot water down the gospel message. We cannot water down the need for repentance and reconciliation. But in relating to others, especially thinking of in the world around us, we can't expect to have good results in our sharing and representing our heavenly country if we're abrasive or insensitive. If we're going to get up and get argumentative about political arguments, it's probably not going to work out so well. We should be able to explain the truth of God's kingdom with a heart of compassion and not of contempt. We have no wisdom of our own, and we certainly do not have the wisdom needed to win souls and to represent the Lord before men. But we have a promise that God will fulfill in us if we ask Him. In James 1:5, it says, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him." My burden this morning on this is that we pray and ask God for wisdom in relating to each other and to the world around us as ambassadors for Christ. In closing, point number 9. An ambassador must know the language of the people among whom he lives. The language that we as ambassadors for Christ need to learn is the language of love. In Luke 10, verses 33 to 35, I'm going to turn there. We'll read that very quickly here. Luke chapter 10. Starting at verse 33. Luke 10, verse 33. This is Jesus talking. He said, "Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be delivered unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles, and they shall mock him, and scourge him, and spit upon him, and shall kill him. And the third day he shall rise again." In all of this, Jesus had compassion on those who spit on him. In fact, the ones who crucified him, he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." If we have a heart of compassion for others, it will affect the way we treat them and the expressions on our face. Love and compassion can be communicated in a lot of different ways. It can be as simple as a smile on your face, a cheerful greeting. It can be just holding the door open for someone. Or maybe someone drops something, their hands are full, and we just quickly reach down and help them pick things up. A word of encouragement. A simple act of kindness are all ways we can express love and compassion. There are lots of different languages around the world in all the different countries, but there's one language that is understood by every human being on this earth, and that is the language of love. In closing, I'd like to just think about the incident with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We're not going to turn to Daniel 3 and read it, but we know the account where they were faced with a severe political pressure. The king was ordering them to fall down and worship this idol, this image that he created, that he made. You know, they could have used a lot of different excuses. "So we'll fall down, but we won't actually worship the idol." Or maybe they could have said, "You know, we won't become idol worshipers, but we'll just worship it this one time and then ask God for forgiveness." They could have reckoned that the king has absolute power and we must obey him. God will understand. Or maybe the king appointed us to positions in his kingdom, so we owe this to him. This is a foreign land. God will excuse us for following the customs of the land that we're in. Our ancestors set up idols in the temple this isn't half as bad as that. Or just simply, we're not hurting anyone by doing this. But no, they said, we will not bow. God is able to deliver us. But even if he doesn't choose to do so, we will not bow. They were ambassadors for the kingdom of God. Paul didn't try to improve the government in his day, and Jesus did not either. They just didn't get involved. They focused on their ministry as ambassadors for God. We may be tempted with the excuse that if we don't vote, then evil is going to prevail. But let's remember, brothers and sisters, that God is still in control no matter what. And in the end times, evil will prevail. But the kingdom of God is going to stand. Are you and I going to be a part of that? Let's be ambassadors for Christ. Let's kneel for prayer.